Thank you, Carrie. As we would meditate upon the Lord, we begin reading from Genesis chapter 1. I'm reading this morning from one of the good versions that we have, the English Standard Version, reading from God's Word, Genesis chapter 1. We have these words that God has given to us through Moses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which there is seed, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give their light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures, and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. And God blessed them. And God said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that everything He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all that He had done. May God bless this, the reading of His Word. Our message this morning is entitled, The Eternal Three in One. And certainly as we read that story, we have to realize there are, yes, many stories of creation. Those from Babylon, those from the Sumerians, those from the different groups, as we would look from the ancient world and from the modern world, that of Darwinism, a story of how it all began, creation. Genesis, though, as we compare it, as we read it, as we hear God speaking, it is unique, one of a kind. All those other stories of the Egyptians, or even from our modern times, they really don't compare with what God has revealed to us. Here we have that rose that stands, as it were, in a weed patch. It stands out. In fact, you can spend a lifetime studying just these words we have read, and you'll continue to be amazed with all that is here. Studying God's creation, and at the same time studying His special revelation. Yes, here is God's Word. Genesis chapter 1. This is Scripture. This is God's Word. All Scripture is God-breathed. And this is where we start. All of us have what we call presuppositions. All of us. Whether we want to realize it or not, there's no neutral minds here this morning. There are no neutral scientists out there somewhere that have their minds completely without any bias. We are either for Christ or we are against Him. There is no neutral ground. Either we regard Genesis as God's Word or we do not. And I want to make it very clear where I stand on this matter. This is God's revelation of Himself. This is God's Word. God alone tells us what it is and how it was. There are no eyewitnesses among men. No one here, or no one in all of history, or no one can look far enough back with a telescope and see how God created all that is. God has revealed this creation to us through Moses, through those that He chose to reveal Himself. What we have just read has challenged interpreters for thousands of years. Old Martin Luther once said that the first chapter is written in the simplest language, yet it contains matters of the utmost importance and very difficult to understand. And it was for this reason that Saint Jerome wrote, among the Hebrews, it was forbidden for anyone to read this chapter publicly for others or to expound it for others until one was 30 years old. This is holy ground. Questions, there are many here. Certainly, when we read it in our time, in our day, we immediately almost have all these questions like, how old is the earth, and how long are the days of creation? Is Genesis compatible with modern science? And we pile up our questions. In fact, what we would speak of as the Reformed community, who takes seriously God's word in our day, there seems to be swirling around almost with such bitterness, the length of the days has become that which people decide whether they'll have fellowship with one person or with another. I ask you this morning, how are we to understand this great foundation of the Christian faith, Genesis chapter 1? How are we to understand it? By debate? By studying enough science that then we can interpret and understand it? What will open up our understanding? You remember, as the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, walked with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, what did he do? He began with Moses. And yes, and all the prophets. And he opened unto them those things concerning himself. He opened their minds to understand how these things speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to understand these words with God's interpretation in Jesus Christ. Not, so to speak, as rabbis would understand it. Not, so to speak, as some ivory tower scientist might think he can interpret these things. But we come with the very understanding that we have from the New Testament, with that one who is the light of the world, with the light of that one who spoke as the resurrected Lord of history. He is really that one that is spoken of, isn't he? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God, yes, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He can give us understanding of this, the one who is the light of the world. Where do we begin? And I would ask you to follow along with me as we would take up this wonderful revelation of God Himself. First of all, the omnipotent God creates all things. This passage, without a doubt, tells us that this great, all-powerful God has created everything that is. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And here, I believe we have that word or idiom from Hebrew, really, which would speak of everything that is, the whole of the universe, all things. And we would speak of it that God created all things out of nothing. When we read this passage of Scripture, we have here the historic Jewish and Christian translation that speaks out loudly that God created everything out of nothing. There wasn't anything before He created all things. And He created all things not as we would create something, as we would speak of our having a creation in some work of art, a sculptor, a painting, a book that we would write, whatever that artwork that we may have. God created the world out of nothing, not like we take things that already are and create from them. God created everything that is out of nothing. We read in the book of Hebrews, what is seen is spoken of there as being created out of what was not seen, out of those things that were invisible. Last week we looked at Revelation 4:11, how that all things get their existence from God's will, and God created them in the beginning, and therefore they did not exist before then. Therefore, they were created out of nothing. Now, we can't understand that. That's beyond us. That's mystery beyond anyone here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, as we read on in the passage, I believe we have to recognize that the Word of God is present in creation itself. That one who was in the beginning with God, that one who was, yes, God, that one who, yes, without Him was not anything made that was made. He is that one that is the Word of God, goes forth some 10 times, and God says, and God said, and here is creation. The Word of God speaks, and powerfully creation comes to be. He is the one that is spoken of as the Logos, the Word of God. The Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Septuagint, uses this term, Logos, which is used in John 1:1. He is that Word. The psalmist says, by the Word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their hosts. So this one that is spoken of here is the very one that is spoken of, I believe, in Genesis chapter 1. He is the Word that made all things, made the world, yes, by the word of His power. He came to His own, the world He had made, and they didn't recognize Him. They didn't receive Him. He is the one who was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in one sense, we recognize He's a distinct person from God, because right from the beginning, He's spoken of as being with God. And at the same time, He is God. God created all things through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word, the same one who was made flesh and dwelt among us. Paul understood it. This appointed spokesman to interpret the Scriptures in the name of Christ, he understood this passage, I believe, well. Colossians chapter 1. Read with me with your own eyes these words from Colossians chapter 1, beginning there with verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. All creation was carried out by God's Word, and without Him nothing was made that was made. He is the irresistible Word of God, the creative Word of God. Then look quickly at verse 2 in Genesis chapter 1. There is the Holy One. There is the Spirit hovering above the waters. The Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. Here is the omnipotent God that creates all things. Our second point this morning from this passage, very important. Here, I believe, is the triune God revealing Himself. Follow with me. How are we to understand this revelation of God? We must not just take one passage to understand its context, but even Genesis chapter 1, we need to have the light of all of Scripture to understand it. Yes, we come to this passage of Scripture and seek to understand how did those to whom Moses would have given this book to read, how would they understand that? And surely, as we would look and see how Israel later understood it, how those in exile would have understood it, Certainly there's application here of how they understood that there is one true and living God who created all things. But as we have the fullness of the canon, all of Scripture, to understand this very beginning of Scripture, we have there those things that are very precious to us. And we seek to see these words with the light of the whole of God's revelation of Himself. Now, I would ask you, as we look at this passage, the Christian sees this passage with the eyes of the Lord Christ. Creation is not complete in itself, but it belongs to the really big story of God's redemption through Jesus Christ. It is that which God has done. It's foundational for us to understand all of life. Simply telling a story of creation sells very little without Christ, the Creator. This is not this morning a rabbinic sermon, but a Christian sermon that proclaims the triune God of glory, who will one day give us, through Jesus Christ, the new heaven and the new earth, the home of righteousness. Now look with me in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now there are questions there. Some have come to this and said, what is this? This our likeness, this let us make man in our image and our likeness. Who is this us that's here? Some have said what we have here is really remnants of polytheism. Those before, they believed there were many gods, and so it was our image. It was let us, gods, plural. And somehow or another, explaining things as part of a myth that just hadn't really been sanitized enough. Certainly, that is not God's Word. God's Word speaks to us in fullness here this morning. Others have said it's but the heavenly court. Let us make man in our image, meaning by that the angels and all the heavenly creatures that would be there present with God in His court. And then others, including some Jewish scholars and Christian scholars, would look at this and see that there is a we of self-address. In reality, here's the plurality of the persons of the Godhead talking to themselves. Now, a man-made book of Genesis certainly is not what we're dealing with. So we reject that first statement, that first understanding of these things. The second, it would seem to me as you read through the whole of Scripture, and in particular this passage, that it's certainly not that God is being spoken of here and with His court, with His angels, that they would be making man in their image, or that really the angels and all the court is ever even part of the subject of all of this whole passage. God is the actor. God is the creator. God is the one who makes man according to that image that is spoken of here. So this our image refers to those same persons that are spoken of here. Let us make man according to our image. God as the subject through the whole of this passage. And this is very important for us to see the totality of the Godhead here. God is speaking to Himself. Yes, the light of the world is here. Yes, the Spirit of God is here. And I believe looking back with the New Testament in our hands, we can see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that are already present here in this passage of Scripture. Does this reveal the Trinity? No. I believe we don't have that full revelation of the Trinity, of the triune God, until we have the fullness in the New Testament. But here is a place that we can see God's light shining here for us to understand this whole passage better. That God says, let us make man in our image. And there is illumination. The doctrine of the Trinity is true, and therefore God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are present there in creation itself. Now, as we have this passage before us, we realize that there is this one in whom is all life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is present. And I say to you this morning that you and I will never understand Genesis chapter 1 without that illuminating power of the one who is the light of the world. A third point, quickly this morning, and that is the complete God enjoys Himself. Think with me. What do we have here? God from eternity is the triune God. One God in three persons. What does John mean when he says, God is love? If God were not triune, who would He love in eternity past? There would be no Son. There would be no Holy Spirit. Where would God's love be? The world and all the inhabitants of it is just something of yesterday. God always was from eternity. And yet, He is identified as the one who is love. Did He create the world to be love? No, God is love. And because of that, He reveals Himself, yes, in a beautiful way to us in sending His Son. God is triune, one God and three persons. The Father, He was never lonely. The Son always was from the very beginning the Word of God. The Father and the Son always lived face to face in a love that is of their very essence of who they are as God. Loving God and neighbor as Himself perfectly. God always loved Himself perfectly and His neighbor, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perfectly. And that's the essence of the Ten Commandments as God has given them to us. That we would love God and that we would love our neighbor as ourself. God is complete in Himself. He is never needed. He never needed the world for love or fellowship. He had that perfect fellowship. He was complete in Himself. And it was God's complete sheer grace that He created the world. Without us or the world, He was happy always in perfect love. Happy with His work as He created us. Happy all the way through that passage of Genesis 1. It was good. It was good. It was very good with completion and fullness. There is here one in whom we can find joy in God alone. He is full of that joy and love and wonderful completion and fullness in Him. One last point. We looked at the omnipotent God creating all things, the triune God revealing Himself, and then the complete God enjoys Himself. Now, the application comes to us. The loving God made us for fellowship, made us after His own image. That fellowship, that koinonia, that companionship, that loving one another is in the triune God always, even from eternity. Let us make man in our image. How is this? clearly this is very important. It's not merely my image, but our image. We're made in the image of the triune God, that one God and three persons. And therefore, how we treat one another is important, whether we recognize people as fallen all around us or restored in Christ. We are to not curse them with our tongues because they are made in the image of God. What does that mean? Certainly, we would emphasize constantly here at Cornerstone that there is an identity that we have. All are the same image of the triune God, men and women, made in the image of God. Those from all races, all nationalities, all peoples, as we have from Acts 17, verse 26, from one man, God made every nation of men, and we've been made in His image, all of us, all the different peoples of the earth. And there's individuality that's involved there. Each person of the Godhead is distinct, has his own role. Distinct. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Holy Spirit is not the Father nor the Son. And yet they are one. There is individuality. You have gifts. You are a person made in God's image to serve and love Him and to love one another. And we come to that application of this very teaching that there is to be community. Just as God has that oneness and community. The Father loving the Son, that oneness with the Holy Spirit and His work. We are to have community. God has what we may call an eternal social life, an eternal love one to another in the Godhead. If you remember Jesus in His own life, how was it that He lived? He spent time in people's homes. He spent time with people of different classes and backgrounds. He chose His disciples. He had those three special ones. There was involvement in people's lives, eating meals with them. Those lessons come to us that we're not to be as lone rangers, as Christians. A lone ranger Christian is really a contradiction in terms. It's not holiness to be off in 160 acres all by yourself and, hey, it's all good, just like I want it, peaceful and nice. Nobody bothers me. God has created us to be the city of God, to be made in His image. We are, yes, different individually, and yet there's a oneness, there's a community. The Lone Ranger, he does as he pleases. But that's not the way heaven's going to be. We're going to be one together. There is something of real fellowship of the saints that takes place right here, right now. How are we to live in the church of Jesus Christ? Let me read one more verse as we close. From John chapter 17, and it really is the most amazing prayer that you can find. The depth of it is beyond all of our comprehension. John chapter 17, as Christ prays to His Father. And there's these amazing words. In John 17, verse 21, we read, verse 20, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, the New Testament, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. Now, these are amazing words. There is to be here a oneness. Now the world divides itself up in so many different ways of gangs and builds its walls and its nations and peoples and all the different things that we have in our own culture of Republicans and Democrats and good guys and bad guys and ups and downs and everything else. But here, there is something that is intimate and personal that people are to have one with another. We are that city on the hill, that alternate lifestyle that's really different than all the rest of the world. We're to be on the same page with the eternal three in one. We are family, together committed. We ate of the bread. We drank of the cup as family of the Lord. There's this oneness. God tells us that if anyone hates his brother, he can't really be that child of love. There is to be a true and real acceptance and love one to another. An involvement that is genuine in our daily lives. May God give us an understanding how God made us in His image and live that reality. Let us pray together. Our Father, we acknowledge that there's not one thing in all of Your Word that is not real and practical and living for our daily lives. We thank You, O Lord, for revealing Yourself to us as the great, eternal, three in one, and that there is that perfect love of God, that perfect love of neighbor, that oneness, genuine, true community. O Lord, help us to live our lives for Your glory as we've been made in Your image. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.